Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. I am so excited to be starting season 6 of Small Town Podcast. When I started doing these interviews and episodes, I had no idea how many small towns I would get to explore and share with such a large audience, or how far I would travel from the great city of Osceola to bring them to you. As I told you at the beginning of last season, I no longer serve as the mayor of the great city of Osceola, though I still live there. Since the last season of Small Town Podcast, I've actually started a new role. I'm now the CEO of the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, who has sponsored the last 2 seasons of this podcast and has continued to sponsor this year as well. With such great support on this entire journey from the Georgia Municipal Association, it's only fitting that we start another season by talking with them about a venture they started not long after they helped me start this podcast. So today, we're going to go talk with 2 executives from the Georgia Municipal Association, Larry Hansen and Kay Love, in the big city of Atlanta, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Osceola, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got 2 traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a 3rd anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Osceola made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Osceola, Georgia. You may remember that last season we started out with an episode at Georgia Municipal Association's Small Cities Conference. On that episode, and a few before, you may remember this guy.
Hi, I'm Larry Hansen, the CEO and Executive Director of the Georgia Municipal Association.
And Larry, it's good to be with you. This is the first time I've gotten to actually record. We're in the basement studio at the global headquarters of the Georgia Municipal Association.
Matt, it's good to see you, and it's always great to have you here at GMA. And we are absolutely so grateful for this amazing building we have, including this recording studio. It's just allowing us to connect with and share information with our members in better ways than ever before.
I remember when you were building this, I'm trying to think of the time frame. I remember most of the construction happened during the pandemic, which actually made it easier to build in some ways.
Well, that's one of the few good things to come out of the pandemic is that we were able to work remotely and actually accelerate the construction. Our plan was that we would all be in the old building, and then this building would be built, and then we'd all move in the new building and then completely renovate the old building next door. And then when that was done, sort of fan out where we would belong. Because of COVID, we were able to actually combine and do both projects at one time, saving about 6 months as well as some significant amount of funding by having it all under one project.
And I joked with you that when you were building this the studio, that was going to be my recording studio because I was doing Small Town Podcast even then. So this is the first time I've gotten a chance to record in it. It's a great facility. And yeah, so and actually, I probably should just start like that. I'm not a member of GMA anymore because I'm not the mayor of the great city of Osceola, though I still live there, call it home. So we don't get to see each other quite as much at the Cities United Summit and the summer conferences and all the different trainings. So yeah, let's just talk about what's been going on at GMA. And as I start that, I just really want to publicly thank you. Georgia Municipal Association was really what kind of catapulted Small Town Podcast from the very start, sponsoring in season 1. And so your continued sponsorship is just greatly appreciated. So it's good to see you as always, but I really just wanted to thank you so much for continuing to sponsor this little project I started a while ago that's gone farther and faster than I ever would have imagined.
Well, thank you, Matt. The project you do really is of great value and benefit to the cities of Georgia, and now, of course, I know in other states as well. But you do a great service, and it is great that we're able to be part of celebrating our small cities all over this state, because they are the overwhelming majority of our cities.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's talk about what's going on at GMA. There's a lot of new things going on, a lot of great things that have continued. So what's the update?
Well, we're really excited. We're very excited, and we have the best job of all, and that is to serve all 537 cities of Georgia. So number one, we're thankful that every city chooses to be a member of GMA, and they're 537 strong. And attendance at our events is going great. Our annual convention, you know, we're Savannah's largest convention.
We
had about 2,200 people there last year. And this year, we just opened registration a couple of weeks ago. We had 1,400 people register in the first 30 minutes.
Wow.
So there's a lot of interest right now in GMA and the education and training and networking opportunities that we're able to provide. We just finished a legislative session. We feel good about that session. We've got some new members of our government relations team. They did a really good job. This building is giving us opportunities we never could have imagined. The number of cities coming here to hold events, whether that's mayor council planning retreats or city attorneys training that we had here last week, or just a multitude of events where this building is in use really almost every day and most days serving one or more of our cities. So we're pleased that this building, which belongs to our member cities, is of great use and of value to them. So GMA, right now, we've got a lot going on. Obviously, the session being completed, advocacy was a major part of what we did throughout the session, supporting cities, particularly around having local control to make decisions in their own best interest. We know that's where the best decisions are made, where people live and work and play and interact daily with their elected officials and citizens. And then, of course, we have a lot of training, as we always have. We have a great partnership with UGA and the Carl Vinson Institute of Government. A lot of our programs our cities are taking advantage of. We've rolled out several new ones. One's called Embrace Civility, where we're asking cities to adopt a resolution to become a city of civility. That's being very well received. So we have a new mayor's reading club. We've got over 70 mayors signed up just in the first couple of months that are reading and interacting with young people in their schools. We're excited about that because we think that is a major issue that we're working through our Georgia City Solutions. We're going to talk about some here today. So a lot going on at GMA. It's all very positive.
Well, it sounds good. And I know, I saw when we announced the civility program, and I thought two things. It's sad that we need one, but it's great that GMA stepped in and said, hey, this is needed for better or worse. And so we're going to do things to make things better. And so just always something new going on, just addressing the needs of cities throughout Georgia, big and small, of course.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you mentioned Georgia City Solutions. That was actually kind of what I wanted to focus on in today. So I'm going to get a chance to talk with K-Love.
Sure.
But yeah, I guess just take us back, because I reminded you I was actually on that steering committee years ago, and it's just come a long way since then. So take us through the whole purpose behind starting it and what it's done since then.
Well, you were on the original steering committee, and that committee did a lot of great work and ultimately issued a report that we presented to our board that recommended that we create, form a nonprofit as under the umbrella of GMA that could help address many of the issues that seemed to be holding back some of our cities from reaching their greatest potential. So we've hired a staff now. We became incorporated as a nonprofit. We formed a board that has some extremely influential leaders. We're very pleased to have a lot of corporate citizens willing to volunteer their time. And what we found is we did a deep dive and look at Georgia and its cities and the communities that are doing well and perhaps those that have opportunities to do better. There's just some issues that are grounded around intergenerational poverty that seem to be holding some communities back, and those are issues like workforce development and literacy and poverty. And we felt that by coming together through a nonprofit, raising money, being intentional about trying to provide services to many of those smaller communities that often do not have a lot of full-time staff, that we could really help them then begin to address those needs so that they can have a brighter future. Youth leadership development was another. So we know how important it is to get our young people. You know, Matt, it's something profound, it's sort of sad, but it's real, is that you know, the federal government bases their future projections of prison construction based on fourth grade reading level.
Yeah.
And so we know that it's important, it's critical that we reach young people and help them be on level reading by third and fourth grade so that they have an opportunity to have a bright future. So we know in workforce development, we know to have a trained workforce is critical. Everyone wants economic development. Everyone wants to see their cities and their communities grow. But, you know, now everyone uses very sophisticated information. They have access to everything about your community. They're often using economic development professionals. They often know far more about you than you do them the first time you meet them. And so you can't cover those things up. So it's important to address issues of educational attainment and literacy rates and high school dropout rates and so on and so forth, because we want to have the jobs of the future. We've got to have the trained workforce of the future that can meet those jobs. So the purpose of Georgia City Solutions really is to help in those areas, to step in, to create programs, have staff that can implement the programs, that can be scaled to a community of any size, so that we can come in and then help them set up youth leadership councils, for instance, which is going extremely well. We're having a number of cities and help encourage and inspire young people to learn more about their government and get involved in contributing to their local government at a young age. And then, of course, we hope to inspire them to become the municipal workforce of the future, because workforce development is an issue. And you know from your time as mayor and even now, it's getting more and more difficult to fill jobs, good jobs. Cities have really good jobs with good benefits and good stability, but yet it's difficult to find wastewater plant operators, CDL drivers, just so many of the jobs we have. And public safety has become really a challenge to fill jobs, to find people, but also it's become so competitive. So we're trying to help in a lot of those areas to help cities create that sense of place, that sense of belonging that will help them address their issues and then, of course, become more successful in recruiting jobs, retaining their young people, keeping them at home, and having a more prosperous future.
I look forward to talking with Kay and getting more into the details about the programs. But as we kind of close out our time, what you just said just strikes this question as one of our, I guess, we have a big picture philosophical question every now and again, you and I. All the things you just said, it seems like we've just come a long way from cities making sure the streets are clean, the potholes are filled, and some of those very basic city management things to now we're having to make sure that we've got the fourth grade reading education levels where they need to be. So just talk about, I guess, the evolution and where when something's not going, if the market's not taking care of it, if someone else isn't taking, man, that city leadership's becoming all that much more valuable.
Well, I think for years, and we continue to do it, cities have concentrated on the blocking and tackling of local government, and that is things like infrastructure.
Yeah.
We've got to have good roads. We have to have sidewalks. We have to have parks. We must have the amenities, a vibrant downtown that make a city a place people want to call home. And of course, now we know that infrastructure also includes broadband. We have to have that capacity to recruit and retain economic development and young families. So I think cities have really done well in those areas to make sure their infrastructure needs are planned and taken care of in an orderly fashion. But now we're realizing that we've got to do much more than that. We've got to have placemaking. We've got to create a sense of place. Look, young people today, my generation, you found a job and you moved to a community and you started that and you often had a career. But that's not the way it is today. Young people often first look for the place, the quality of life that they want, and then they find a job.
Right.
And they're going to have three or four careers. So it's, you know, they're mobile. I mean, they're not locked down. So you've got to make sure you have those kind of amenities that will want them to make a city and a community a home. And so I see that it becomes crucial then for local governments to become a convener. we don't want to be a duplicator, and Georgia City Solutions is very intentional about not trying to drive in the lanes at other people, but bring those to the table so we all find the right place and the right role for us where we can meet the needs that exist today so that we can have a more prosperous and a brighter future for our young people. So you're right, addressing the things we're doing today, youth leadership development, addressing issues of intergenerational poverty, just trying to make sure that there are programs in place to help children get a book. You know, we're working with partners. In fact, Kay will talk about this a little more. We're really pleased we have a book that we've had published that our mayors are now reading. And as we're giving some of those books away to children, we're finding that for some of them, it's the first book in their home that they own.
Wow.
And so we often don't think of things in that context, but yet it is important to try and create that desire in that young person to want to read and be a better reader, because we know there's an absolute correlation between reading and learning and dreaming and having a vision of a future and being successful. So Georgia City Solutions really is doing some necessary things that are non-traditional in a sense, but yet they are important, imperative today if a community wants to be successful.
It's really, like I said before about the civility program, two things.
Yeah.
I hate that it's required,
right?
But that's the reality. And so I appreciate the Georgia Municipal Association stepping up and kind of leading the cities to then lead their communities in those directions. So
we're real excited about the civility initiative, and it's being extremely well received around the state and the communities that have adopted it. They tell us it is changing behavior because it sets an expectation.
Right.
And mayors are reading it into the record when you start meeting and posting it. So it's not only about how elected officials treat each other in a meeting, but it's also how they treat each other and interact with staff. But also importantly, it's how citizens engage with elected officials and with each other, and setting an expectation of conduct and behavior. And you find that when it's communicated, most people really want to be respectful of that and will follow those boundaries that you set. So We're pleased with it. It's being well received, and it's making a difference. We're just living at an interesting time, and this too shall pass. But in the moment that we're in, it is important that we help people find ways to be better listeners, and be more open-minded, and not necessarily have to be adversarial in conversations. We can disagree without being disagreeable.
Yeah. And
that's part of what civility really is all about.
Well, on civility programs and DEI programs and Georgia City Solutions programs, I thank you and the entire Georgia Municipal Association for its leadership and helping cities lead the way. And so thanks for your support of this podcast, and always good to see you.
Thank you, Matt. It's always good to see you. Great to have you in this studio, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. We really appreciate the work you're doing. It's I know how many cities enjoy your podcast and hearing about and seeing themselves, and you sharing the story of all the great things that are going on. And there are a lot of great things going on in the small towns of this state that we're very proud of.
And small towns are great.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Good to see you, man. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive. We've already made reference to the next person I got a chance to speak with at GMA headquarters, She's the one behind the great work going on with the Georgia City Solutions.
Hi, I'm Kay Love. I'm the Managing Director of Georgia City Solutions.
Well, Kay, thanks for joining us today. We've already gotten a chance to talk with Larry Hansen and got a little bit into Georgia City Solutions and some of the good work that's going on and been going on as that program has just developed. But I definitely want to talk to you and kind of get into the details. So you were already with GMA before that, so I guess let's go back to the beginning. And as Larry and I talked about, I was actually on the steering committee. I honestly forget what year that was that we did that with Mayor Robert Rickard, who was the mayor of Macon-Bibb at the time. So I guess let's go back to the beginning and how it got started, and then we'll get to what all's going on now.
Okay, sounds good. Well, thanks for having me. That was actually in 2018. It's hard to believe.
My goodness.
Time flies.
It
so
does.
Much has happened since then, and that really was a foundational time for Georgia City Solutions and to figure out what we were going to be and how we were going to do our work and who we were going to deliver the work to across the state of Georgia, knowing that it was going to be city-centric, but where were we really going to start? And so that first initial task force was really laid the grounds and the foundation. And we like to say it was like being at a buffet and our eyes are bigger than our stomach. You remember the conversation about, you know, we want to solve all the challenges that
sure.
the cities face. And so that advisory group came up with probably about 30 some odd things. And
we did list a lot of things.
And they were all important things. And I think the main message that came out of that from all the city officials, like yourself, you know, our mayors and our city managers and then the leadership here at GMA, was that these issues are huge. They're generational, and they cannot be solved by city officials alone. So looking at how can we move the needle on some of these issues. And so the board got stood up in 2019, and as you said, I was already at GMA. I was on the consulting team. So I was working with Pam Helton at the time, and we were trying to cover the state of Georgia and help cities with their municipal operations issues and training and helping them with their needs. And then I was fortunate enough to be able to move over into the managing director position. And at the beginning, it was organized chaos because we were building the the plane and flying it at the same time as we're developing programs. We were able to stand up a really strong board. Our board of directors is a public-private board. So we have three municipal officials and of a 12-member board, and then the balance is the corporate world. So we have currently the mayor of Columbus, Skip Henderson, the mayor of Savannah, Van Johnson, and mayor pro tem of Suwannee, Linnea Miller, are our municipal officials. Then on the corporate side, we have the ones that people probably think about when they think about corporate partners of Georgia Power and Chick-fil-A and Home Depot and the Integral Group and Georgia Beverage Association. We have a very strong chair in Kirby Thompson, who is retired from Truist Bank and now with the University of Georgia System Foundation. So we have a very strong foundation, and that group really was tasked with figuring out all those things that task force said we needed to be working on, what was practical, what could we implement with a very small staff and utilizing the partnerships that we could create across the state. So they centered around three big buckets, if you will, of that's youth leadership and engagement, equity and inclusion, and municipal workforce development. We started out with workforce development and then realized what cities really can control is the municipal piece of it. So we centered on municipal workforce development, but it does impact the community workforce development.
Let me ask this, because we're about to start moving forward in the chronology, but let me actually go back even before that advisory board, steering committee, whatever we called it. what was the question, or what was the problem that we needed to find the solution for that created the need or kind of said, hey, let's put together some people and let's talk about this. What were the conversations going on that said, hey, let's look at something different outside of what's already established at GMA? Because I think that's the part. It's like, hey, aren't you already doing some of the things? And it's a good question. And so I know there was some conversations that kind of precipitated the whole thing in 2018. I can't believe it was that long ago.
It wasn't. It's a great question. And really it was about Bill Thornton, who has, as you know, been at GMA for many years.
Hall of Famer Bill Thornton.
Hall of Famer
Bill
Thornton.
That's right. He's the Municipal Hall of Fame. I like reminding that every time.
Our our deputy executive director, you know, who's been here doing work since many years ago, 40 plus years.
He's been here a while.
He has. And it was really his brainchild, this question of, for city officials and you being a former city official, is what keeps you up at night? And there are the things, certainly, is the garbage getting picked up? You know, is my community safe? But these bigger issues that really are born out of the outcomes of intergenerational poverty. So the inability to put forth a skilled workforce in a community, the ability for citizens that live there, business folks, people that visit, to reach their full potential. What can cities do to move the needle in that area? Knowing again that, you know, many times city officials are looked upon to solve these issues or to come up with answers, but yet it's not their core focus or their lane or even that they have authority.
Right.
But yet they have influence. And so mayors and city officials have great influence to convene stakeholders and bring together. And so thinking about how do we bring thought leaders together to really address these issues? And with 537 cities, they're all different. So how do we meet them where we are, where they are, excuse me? And that was how this was born, to say GMA has a core business, and that's some of that day-to-day operational issue. But how do we not affect just on the margin, but something that's transformational, something that's bigger than that? And that's how it all started.
Well, then we went through the advisory committee and the report, and now you've got a board. And so I guess now let's talk about what's been going on and what programs are happening and how things are going.
Yeah, so fast forward, just from an impact standpoint, big picture, looking at, we've partnered with more than 60 organizations, whether that's a corporate world or nonprofit. We've impacted more than 1,000 residents, meaning we've delivered programs in cities that serve a million wow. residents. That's better than 1,000.
Yeah, a million's bigger.
And we've really done that through strategic partnerships. Our goal is to scale and replicate, starting out small with a pilot, kind of proof of concept.
Right.
And we'll talk about some of those programs in a minute. And then seeing who in communities are already in this lane doing some of this work and how might we partner and leverage networks and resources to do that. So one of the things that we've been working on in the equity and inclusion area is really getting a level set of terminology across the state about what does diversity mean, what does equity, what does inclusion mean, and really getting city officials comfortable with some of those hard conversations that have to happen in communities. A lot of that starts with just training, just that basic training of valuing differences is what does it mean. Our programs, we don't lead with race because it's not about race. It's about individual people and what makes up that community and their diversity of opinions, their diversity of preferences, their diversity of needs, their diversity of desires. So really it started with that. And we've touched more than 8,000 since it started in 2021. We rolled that program out. We have a director of equity and inclusion, Freddie Broom, who really covers the state, and we have a couple of partners who help us deliver that training. So we're very excited about that. And kind of born out of the conversation of a board, having a strong board in place, was, as you know, GMA has advisory councils.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a workforce advisory council, there's a children and youth advisory council, and GMA in 2019, as a result of all the social unrest that we were seeing across the nation, created an equity and inclusion commission. That commission spent about 18 months working on, that you were on,
yeah.
working on what were things that cities can do, what are things that GMA can do, and born out of that was a couple of programs. One, a certification program, where we can recognize cities for the work that they're doing from a policy standpoint in the area of equity and inclusion. And that just rolled out actually last week. So we opened it up, and we've got 13 cities who are going through this process. There are 7 categories that they can get certification in. They have to demonstrate the work that they're doing and how they're doing the work and the policy changes that they're making, from things for community and economic development, public safety and restorative justice, housing, health, finance, community dialogue, and stakeholder engagement. And we have some subject matter experts that are helping us review these. And so this is a long game. This is not a short game. Then another thing that came out of the Equity and Inclusion Commission was an individual certificate program where an individual city official can go through and learn more about what that means across those seven categories that are over on the certification side of the house. Really begin to delve into emotional intelligence, their leadership, how their city works internally and externally in the community. So we started that cohort last November. We have 33 folks that will wrap it up next month. We offer that one time a year. And now for 2023, we're almost sold out with seats with that. That's been very, very effective and got a lot of good feedback.
I remember because I was, as you pointed out, I was on the Equity and Inclusion Commission. Mayor Jim Thornton from LaGrange, now the government relations head at GMA, and then Mayor Hardy Davis, who was the mayor at the time of Augusta. And I just remember while the impact I know you're seeing and the changes and the biggest thing I think is just the awareness. The program, the presentations, and I know there's some people that are kind of, when Freddie comes to do a training, because I've sat through a couple of the trainings, and you can see the people in the room, they're like, oh my gosh, do we have to talk about this? We're fine, we don't have. And by the end, the light bulbs that are coming on, the folks are just like, I never thought of it that way. I never looked at it from that perspective. You know, that's not my perspective or my experience, so I didn't realize how different it could be. And I had the same experience just being on the commission because those are some deep dives we did in each of those categories. And the presentations, whether it was several of them by Zoom because it was during a pandemic, but then also the ones we did in person, the presentations we got from different aspects, whether it was public safety or kind of the economic development aspect of it. Just gaining from a perspective different than your own and realizing that not everyone sees the world as you and not everyone experiences the world as you. I think that was the biggest thing. And so I know that program's had a lot of success stories just because of just once people are more aware of things, it changes behavior, it changes things, and then they're taking a look. And I'm sure policies in cities and the state level have been changed because of just increased awareness to things. So I know that's been a powerful program.
It really hasn't, and your point's so important in that it is just that awareness and engagement. And so many times, you know, it's about just be kind, value differences, value people as they are, and ask questions to learn and
right.
Not making the assumptions that sometimes
right.
we
right.
we make a lot of assumptions and we make a lot of judgments.
You may have to push through your comfort zone a little bit to ask a question, but it's so important. And I've just heard so many examples of people that say, you know, I was nervous about asking this person I've known for a while that happened to be a different gender, a different race, a different religion, a different something than me, and just felt like it was taboo to even ask the question. Turns out, no, they were fine to talk about it, and we had a great conversation, and I feel closer to that person who's been a friend for a while, or now I have this extra knowledge, this extra, again, awareness is probably the key word there with so many aspects of that issue.
It's so true. And again, in that, you know, in that area of equity and inclusion, that while we may have areas of focus, they're all interrelated.
Right.
And one of the things that underpins every one of these areas of focus is literacy. If a person cannot read, then it's impossible for them to reach their full potential. One of the things that we've woven into the work that we're doing in that area is looking at, well, what can a city do to move that needle, or how can a city be involved? Because many times the city's not at the table. It's an assumed,
right.
That's the school district.
That's the Board of Education issue, yeah.
That's the Board of Education. It's not us. One of the things that we also realized that civics in the way that those of us that are a little older, it's not taught in schools.
Right, right.
So how do we grow young leaders? And so that whole youth leadership and engagement. So we look to see, well, what's going on? What's happening? And we have partnered with the Georgia Family Connection Partnership, their Get Georgia Reading Initiative, which has been around for a very long time. It is evidence-based research, and they have four pillars. And we looked and said, okay, well, what are some books about, you know, for kids so we can get them earlier and we can teach them about local government? And, oh, by the way, maybe they might want to go to work in a local government because kids, you know, once you're, you know, made a decision about college or your career, you may not go back and go, oh, well, local government is, you know, what I want to do. I don't know. I mean, I was in local government for 30 years, and I don't think any kid wakes up and goes, oh, I want to be the mayor. I want to be the city manager.
I want to be a municipal employee. Right. Nobody says that.
It just doesn't happen. And so we...
Though they do say policeman or fireman in like the second or third grade, they just somehow move on to doctor and lawyer.
Absolutely. Down the road. Those are the two that they right. know and they see and they right. can understand, but it's hard to describe.
You get to drive vehicles really fast with sirens.
Right.
Yeah,
lights, and they're really cool. So we decided that we would embark in that lane and bring together some thought leaders in the area of literacy. And one of the things that we discovered is we have to get to them earlier. So we've partnered with the Georgia Center for Civic Engagement as well, Dr. Randall Trammell, and we decided that we would commission our own series of children's books, teach kids about local government. So the first one was written and was published last July. We published via Amazon, Kindle Direct, and Georgia Caroline Visit City Hall. So Georgia Caroline and her friends go and visit City Hall, and they meet the mayor and the city manager and the city clerk, and they see some other city employees along the way and learn about what they do and the importance of their voice. They go into a city council meeting that's underway and hear some of the discussion and see some of their parents, neighbors, and things that are there and realize that they can be a part of that and that their voice matters. And that there are jobs in City Hall that they may want to do one day. The second book is written and it's in illustration. It should come out next month, and it's titled Georgia Caroline Visits Her Hometown Heroes. So those police and firemen,
wow,
are firefighters, they're going to go visit the police station and fire station. So we expect there to be about five books in the series as Georgia Caroline and a very diverse group of her classmates go around the city and of Happyville and find out about what happens in their local government.
Happyville, where everybody's happy, right?
That's right.
And no one comes to city council meetings saying, I pay taxes.
We hope.
That's right. It's a good story.
So, yeah, so it's in conjunction with that, about bringing city officials to the table, we created a Mayor's Reading Club. It's an opportunity for mayors to take a leadership role to encourage young readers in their community. And it's very flexible, and it's up to the mayor of how they want to design it, whether they want to do it in person or virtual. We partnered with the state library system. The state librarian was gracious enough early on when they found out about this program, say, hey, how can we be involved? How can we help mayors? Because mayors are busy people, as you know.
And yeah.
They don't have time to set up reading events. So that's one of the things that the library system has done, and the 400 libraries there available and open to help scheduling events. The school systems have been great in community schools for mayors to go in elementary schools. The book's written for like a 4 to 8 year old age range, and they go in and read. They have guest readers. One of our mayors has had some of the local celebrities, you know, the high school football quarterback and those kinds of things go in and read to kids. We have 64 mayors in the program right now. It just launched last August. So very organically, I'm happy to say every district, every GMA district of the 12, we have mayors reading across the state. So we're really excited about that and the momentum that that has, because it's really a cool thing when the mayor comes to your class,
yeah,
or you go to the library and your mayor is there.
I did a couple of visits during reading week at the kindergarten class when I was the mayor of Osceola. So, yeah, and they don't even really know who I am. I'm just coming to read. And it was exciting. And I told them all, and all the teachers, because they bring in all the classes at once. And it was about, you know, maybe four classes at a time or something like that. And the teachers all laughed because they knew I was serious. I said, kids, I promise, this is my favorite thing to do about being the mayor. I'd rather be here reading books to you than being in a council meeting. And it was true.
And I thank all of our 64 mayors for
I'm sure they do.
But it is a great way for them to engage the kids and tell them a little bit about what goes on at City Hall and the work that they do. Additionally, the libraries and the schools have been really good about creating some type of experiential activity to go along with it. So some of them have drawn a picture of the mayor. They've made a city hall out of construction paper. They've written an essay about, if I was mayor, I would X. So there's been a lot of different things and activities around that, and it's been really cool to watch that that grow. And we're really proud of that program.
I know one that has been going on the whole time, and it was something that was already, there was already some GMA support for, but Georgia City Solutions has taken it at least one step, if not many steps farther, and those are the youth councils that you have. So talk about that one, because I know that one's still going.
It is still going, and it has been around a long time. And, you know, there are close to 40 youth councils across the state of Georgia, city-sponsored youth councils, which is not near enough when you look at
537, plus. Yeah, we're so, not even at 10%. Come on.
Yeah, so we're that's kind of been our goal, and we've helped grow that by about 10 in the last year and a half. And one of the things that we do is we provide some technical resources and also a publication to help cities that are interested in engaging their youth. And it's kind of like the Mayor's Reading Club program in that the city can make it whatever they want to, but typically it's open to high school students. We have some cities who have engaged junior high kids as well. And then we have two different events for them where we bring together these youth councils for them to have networking opportunities, leadership skill building opportunities. One is in January in conjunction with GMA Cities United Summit. And then in the fall, we have one that's hosted by a city that has a city council. So last year we were in Dublin, and this year in October we're going to be in the city of LaGrange. So we're excited to go there with them, and we have panels and speakers, and we typically have around 100 kids as well as the adult leaders. We have an activity for the adult leaders as well, so they can come together and talk about what works, how to engage the youth, what are the topics that are important to youth, and really for us, getting the feedback from the youth about the things that are impacting them and their communities so that we can provide additional technical resources and information to cities, kind of some best practices, and here's kind of the top 10 things that youth in your cities are having. We've done a youth survey that was conducted through high schools of about 10 different youth councils over the past year to really try to hone in on where should we be focusing and to undergird what's going on in communities with youth and engagement. It's and one of the main things that we're hearing is they want to have a voice. They want to be involved in their community, yeah, and they want to make a difference.
And a lot of people don't realize that that's welcome. In some places, unfortunately, it's not. So having an outlet for that, not only education, but the feedback. What are you seeing that needs to be addressed? Because that's a different set of eyes, and they may not have the same experience or formal education, some of the training courses about how, you know, municipalities work or just any kind of organization, but they've still got observations to make, and some of the best ideas come from the young people. They're saying, hey, why don't we look at this? Well, why don't we look at that?
You know, so true.
I'm sure there's some great stories that have come out of that.
There are, so. And especially, you know, we've done the typical things that you would think about, you know, teaching them about the budget, but then asking them, okay, if you had this amount of money, where would you spend it?
Yeah, what would be your priorities?
Yeah, where would your priorities be? Yeah. And what are things, most importantly, is what can your city officials do to provide an environment or foster an environment where you want to get involved and you want to stay in the community and you want to be a part of the community?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've talked about the programs. I was kind of curious about this because I asked you, hey, what was the problem that this sought to be a Georgia City Solutions to? And when you talked about the advisory board, you've got municipal officials, you've also got, you know, people from the private sector. Talk about the importance or I guess the difference in those public-private partnerships, because a lot of things you're doing now through that is public-private collaboration and partnership, and that's a little different. GMA as an organization, of course, has great partnerships and deals with private corporations a lot of times as sponsors of things and collaborative, but Georgia City Solutions and how it goes about things is kind of on another level as far as that public-private partnership. You know, the importance of it and the value of it. So talk about what that means, what that does, and why that's different, why it's important.
It is incredibly important, and that's one of the things that makes it work, in my opinion, because that partnership with the private sector, so many times they don't know what goes on in cities. You know, they're in their corporate bubble, and they know that the community is important. But really being able to have those ambassadors in the corporate community, to build relationships, to foster partnerships, to open doors for us to talk to people that we wouldn't be able to talk to very easily. Eventually we may get there, but it's much easier when somebody from a Home Depot or a Chick-fil-A or an AT&T or Georgia Power sure. says, hey, I'm on a board and they're doing some great work across the state of Georgia to improve the quality of life of residents and to move the needle. And particularly in many of their missions, their goals are the same as ours. And so they're working in the community. So in partnership, we have access to every city in the state.
Right. Yeah, they're all members.
That they don't have necessarily a one-shot access to.
Yeah.
And so in doing that and really developing this engagement and awareness strategy of where are the logical partners? Because we can only think of the ones that we know. Well, we don't know what we don't know. And so bringing that corporate voice to the table has really helped us learn how to expand our reach and looking at maybe unlikely partnerships. Partnerships that we might not have thought about before on the GMA side of the house because that business model is different than ours.
Right.
Ours, we're dependent on funding. Certainly GMA provides funding support, but we have to get grants, we have fundraisers, and that type of thing to create the revenue pie, because the more revenue that we can raise, the more cities that we can go and deliver our programs to.
Yeah. You actually mentioned, you said fundraising. I was going to ask you about how that goes about, because I know, like you said, GMA supports administratively, and you're housed as Georgia City Solutions inside the same building we're sitting in, the Georgia Municipal Association headquarters in downtown Atlanta. But that fundraising piece is really important. I'm sure those private corporations that are on the board are helping with that to some degree, and that raising awareness about what you do, and like you said, them going back to their boards is helping. But what are you doing for fundraising and revenue opportunities?
Great question. So part of our fundraising we do through grants, so for particular programs, and those corporate folks are very helpful
when
to
that
us
aligns
in identifying
with mm-hmm, the grant
when
it's
it aligns
to fund,
with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, we have an annual golf tournament. It was a golf tournament that GMA had many, many years ago called the Mayor's Motorcade that really helped support the state hospital, mental hospitals. And when all that started going away, and it was during the time that Georgia City Solutions was being stood up, then we took the golf tournament and now repurposed it for a fundraiser for Georgia City Solutions. And what we did is we decided to move it around the state of Georgia to highlight municipal golf courses. So it's at different municipal golf courses. So Dublin, Thomasville, Sugar Hill, and it's going to be in Winder this year at the municipal golf
course. So it's never at Augusta National.
It won't be at Augusta National probably for a while. That's a great opportunity. It's always in the fall and October, and it's a way for us to raise money to support our programs and initiatives, but it's a great way for city officials to get together with some of the corporate folks and have a great day of golf and raise money for a good cause.
Yeah.
This year, the board decided that we were ready with our programs and delivery and had built our infrastructure enough where we were ready to do a first big fundraiser, kind of a gala-type fundraiser, but they were very clear. We don't want a rubber chicken black tie dinner. We want something that's an experience and fun, and we want to honor some of the work that's being done across the state. So on May 18th, we're going to be at the Porsche Experience Center in Atlanta.
Oh, cool.
For a fun night of folks that want to do a Porsche ride-along can, but more importantly, to honor the work of five different folks in cities that are doing work in our areas of focus across the state. So we have an individual category, an organization category, and a city category. So in the individual category, we're honoring Dr. Anise Mabry for the work that she's doing in rural Georgia for economic development and workforce development. In an organization, we are honoring Creature Comforts Brewing Company out of Athens for their Get Comfortable initiative, where they have decided as a corporation, their philanthropy is going to go towards improving literacy levels in their community, and they've selected an underserved, underperforming school, and they're in their first year, and they are already seeing phenomenal results with that, and it's a mentoring type program with a literacy base to it.
I am quite familiar with the products of Creature Comforts. And actually, it was actually at the Rural Prosperity Summit that the Georgia Chamber does. And it was in Athens last fall. And one of the opportunities we got was to go to Creature Comforts. Yes, we got some samples of their product. Great beer. But we got to talk to the person who's responsible for the community engagement. And so I knew that they were philanthropic natured, I guess I'll say. But the degree to which I was very surprised and really impressed with. So it doesn't surprise me at all that they're being awarded for some of the things they're doing. Athens and that whole region, but I think I'm hearing that they're actually expanding some of that reach even beyond their community level. So it's really impressive when you have a company that, and more organizations are doing that.
Yes,
it's hey, we want to have an impact beyond just helping our bottom line. That's not the most important impact we can have.
They are the epitome of that example of the power of partnerships. Yeah. And that's what we are celebrating is that power of partnerships. And, you know, they could give a little money to a lot of different organizations, and they had done that in the past. And they decided that they were going to dedicate a certain amount, a certain percentage of their revenues every year. And they have a very strong team and led by Fenwick Broyard. And they're just phenomenal, and they have gone about it, and they said, we see a problem in our community, and we want to be part of the solution.
Yeah.
And so this kind of proof of concept that they were going through for this first school, they intend to expand that. And the great thing about this is a corporation in any place in the United States could pick this up and go, wow, we're going to replicate that and do the very same thing in their communities.
Yeah, that's that catalyst that just gets things going, makes things better. Yeah.
And then our three cities are Dublin, Lawrenceville, and Valdosta. Each one of those for work in either youth leadership and engagement, workforce development, or equity and inclusion, or a combination thereof. So we're very, very excited to be able to honor those folks on May the 18th.
Well, that sounds very exciting.
And raise some money.
That's right. That's an important part. But if you do it in a fun way, then everybody wins, right?
That's exactly right.
Especially if you get to ride along in a Porsche.
Yes.
Okay, as we kind of wrap things up and close things out, we've learned a lot about Georgia City Solutions and it's starting, which I was privileged to be a part of, and where it's gone since then and how you guys operate and the importance of partnership and collaboration. I'm willing to bet that if I ask you for, I guess, the impact, because I know you're so excited. You're such a great cheerleader for all the things going on. Every time I talk to you, here's what we're doing, here's what's going on. It's this excitement. And I know it's because, you know, you've used the phrase moving the needle several times just in this conversation. So even though it's still in the early stages, even though it seems like it wasn't supposed to be that long ago that we did this advisory board and got things going, still it's even from just the concept to where we are today is 5 years. And in the grand scheme of things, that's so what have you seen already where it's moved the needle? And this is Small Town Podcast. So I'm especially interested in impact that maybe happened in a smaller place, impact with a smaller group of people, because while that may not get the highlight or you know, make the report, because it's, you know, we look for the bigger things, and that's kind of why I even started this podcast. The hustle and bustle of big city gets a lot of the attention, and I like to focus on a small town. So just whether it's a specific place or just some of our rural communities in general, what are you already seeing that you are just so proud of that's happening because of Georgia City Solutions and its programs?
I am most proud of the work that we are doing in the smaller communities. You know, you have no way of knowing who you're going to touch, who's going to come forward, because there's the push and pull of saying, we have a program, here it is, you come get it. Or let's identify areas that meet certain metrics, like certain academic achievements, poverty levels, ages, diversity, all of those things. And so we do some of both. And in looking at it, we see that there are many, many areas in small town Georgia, particularly rural Georgia, that don't get the attention they need. And what we have found is that while they need it probably more than some of the larger cities, or I know they do, because they don't have the resources, because they have smaller staffs. Yeah. And many times that staff person is wearing multiple hats. And when that staff person is out, there's nobody seeing to that. And so while they would love to talk about workforce development, they don't have time to set aside and go, well, let me sit here and plan about this, because they're dealing with the crisis of the day. So what we've been able to do is come in and say, you know what? you don't have to sit and think about that, because we have developed a playbook and a strategy for you. We do need your time and we do need your commitment, but we're going to bring in the technical resources and you're not going to have to pay for that. And we're going to come in and we're going to augment. So we are an extension of their staff. And as we are doing that, whether it's I'm going or one of my teammates is going, or we've hired a partner, we get to know them and we get to know the community. And so they're telling us, oh, this is great, because now we're going to have a professional looking job advertisement.
Yeah.
Now, we might not have that many jobs, but guess what? When we have it, and there's such pride and there's such commitment from those communities, unlike sometimes all that gets lost in the hustle and bustle. So we have naturally gravitated. One, the demographics support it, particularly when you're using grant funding where you have to meet certain metrics. But just because those are the people that need it the most and who want it the most, we're not going to go where we're not wanted.
Right.
I can promise you in small town Georgia, we're wanted and we're welcome.
Yeah, we need the help.
Mm-hmm.
We need the help, and we appreciate the partnership.
Yes. And on the equity and inclusion side of the house, there have been a number of smaller communities who have never even had the conversation. Like I said, creating that level set of terminology and just going to a council meeting and having the conversation and the mayor and council going, oh, well, that's what that's about. Can you come back and we have a training session before a council meeting? Or, oh, can you train our staff? Yes, we can. So it's been, that's probably been the most rewarding part, is for people to go, thank you. Yes, we needed this. And we have had some that said thank you, but no thank you. And that's okay, because that's what it's all about. There's 537, so there's plenty of work to be done.
I was going to say, you're not lacking for anything to do, I'm sure. Well, great. Kay, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for, actually, I guess I'm joining you since this is the building you work in and I came to visit you today.
But thank you so much for coming to visit, and thank you for so much for just helping us get the word out about the work that we're doing.
Yeah, it's great work, and thanks for focusing on the small towns.
Thank you.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Larry Hansen and Kay Love for talking with me. And I want to thank the Georgia Municipal Association and the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Thank you both for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.